I'm Alex, and tonight's Bible reading comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. It can be found on page 946 of the Bibles at the back of the room. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he who chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for the adoption to sonship through Christ Jesus in accordance with his great pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who worked out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard of the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are in God's possession, to the praise of his glory.
As Dan said, my name's Andrew, or you can call me Nilo if you like. It's great to be here with you tonight, looking at God's word together. Just to start, we might just bow our heads and pray. Let's just pray. Dear Lord God, we do just thank you for your word. Thank you that we have it written and translated into English for us so that we can read and learn from it. Lord, we thank you that it's like a double-edged sword, and it pierces straight to our hearts, and it shows us your truth, Lord. We pray that it would convict us of your truth tonight, and Lord, that we would come to grow and to learn through what we learn as we look at Ephesians 1 tonight. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be working in our midst and in our hearts, Lord, and we just pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, as Dan said, we are kicking off a new series in Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is written by the Apostle Paul, and it's written to the church in Ephesus. He spent about 2 years in Ephesus preaching and teaching to the church there at lunchtimes, and his preaching also almost started a riot, we know from Acts. So it was a place that's sort of like Brisbane. There's some people who are hostile to the gospel, other people who are faithful Christians there. And so Paul's writing to them. It's an interesting church because there's lots of different people in the church. If you could imagine coming to church tonight and sitting next to someone who's got a tattoo on them because they're a slave, and then there's another person who's their owner, and them all sitting together and doing church together. How are they going to have unity as a church? So the idea of unity is really important in the book of Ephesians. So that's why we've titled this series Christ United. Kind of like Manchester United, kind of like a soccer team. We're all wanting to be united, united in Christ. And Mark came up with this helpful little catchphrase to help us remember that Ephesians is about being one by Christ and being one in Christ. So that's a little bit of background on the book of Ephesians. So keep that in mind as we go through it tonight and in the future weeks coming. I want to ask you a question though. I want to start by asking you, are you blessed? Would you consider yourself to be someone who is blessed? Have a think about it. And if you are someone that you think is blessed, how do you think you're blessed? What are the different ways that you think you might be blessed? Well, we might think that we're blessed to have some good friends. We might be blessed to have family. We might be blessed to come from a Christian family. We might be blessed because we have a nice house, somewhere to live, food on the table, a car, good health. There are lots of different blessings we can think about. Ashton Kutcher has this to say about blessing and being blessed. He says, modelling is the best because you have to look hot, which comes easy to me. You know I'm blessed with that. Ashton Kutcher, he's someone he knows he's blessed, and one of the ways he knows he's blessed is with good looks. But tonight we're going to be looking at what it means to be spiritually blessed in Christ as we look at Ephesians together. You might be saying, wait on, hang a minute. Am I in the right place? Isn't this a Presbyterian church? Aren't those churches that talk about blessing, aren't they another denomination? Isn't that somewhere else? What's this guy going on about? I think it's time for Preaching Club to stop. I want Dan back. Where's Weber? Maybe that's the way you think when you hear blessing. Well, I want to reassure you that you are in the right place. We are going to look at blessing. And in fact, there's two traps we need to avoid when we think about blessing. Admiral Akbar knows about traps, so he's going to help us point them out. The first trap is we can think about earthly blessings as being the way God wants to bless us. God loves me, therefore he must want to give me a Ferrari. That's the kind of logic behind that. Now, that's called prosperity gospel. That is a fancy word for it. The second way trap we can fall into when thinking about blessing is to think that God doesn't want to bless us at all. To think that God somehow, we're just going to sit here and not enjoy any blessings, and then we'll get to heaven and the blessings will start. So those are two traps we can fall into. I'm more likely to fall into the second one. But as we look at Ephesians 1 tonight, you'll see that God has spiritually blessed us in Christ, and that those spiritual blessings are better than material blessings, and that they last from when you become a Christian until all the way through to eternity and forever. So keep that in mind. So spiritual blessings, they're not material blessings, they're not cars, it's not dollars, they're not houses. You'll notice Paul doesn't mention Ferraris or fast camels or anything. It's not about that. They're blessings that are given to us in Christ, and they're blessings that go on forever. They're not material. They're also not weird pseudo-Christian blessing things. Like, I was watching the TV one morning, and this ad came on, and it said, these people who said, you know, if you dial this number, you'll get this special blessed prayer rug, and you can get it. You know, it's only like 10 installments of $100 or whatever it was, and it had been blessed in Jerusalem. And, you know, I guess things like that can come up, and some churches will try and tell you that's the way to be spiritually blessed. You're going to see tonight as we look at Ephesians, it's not about prayer rugs. It's not about pseudo-magic-y things. It's actually really straightforward things, the way that God has blessed us. So who likes watching Mythbusters? Do you like watching Mythbusters? I love it. Rachel and I love watching Mythbusters. I hope you do too. This passage in Ephesians tonight we're looking at, it busts some myths. And so we're going to put on our lab coats, and we're going to have a look at the Mythbusters myths that this passage of Ephesians 1 busts. The first one is that the idea that material blessings are the best kind of blessings. So we talked about them before. You might have a job, a house, a friend, all those good things, and we can thank God for those things. But have a look at verse 3. God says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." You see, where are these blessings? They're not earthly, they're heavenly blessings. So it's not the material things, they're in the heavenly realms. Well, you might be thinking, that's a bit of a rip-off. I want to be blessed now. Why can't I just be blessed now? I've got an illustration that hopefully will help us to understand why spiritual blessings are better. So who wants to be tied up? No? No one? Gavin? So I like to imagine, I'm not going to tie anyone up. I like you to imagine that this rope is your life. And imagine that it starts here and it goes on forever. I don't have a rope that goes on forever. I couldn't find one. And if I could, I probably couldn't afford it. Price per meter would be too high. So imagine that this bit here that's taped on the end, this is your life here on earth. It's your life here on earth. And then afterwards, you face God, And then you're going to either live in heaven or hell forever. Now, material blessings that we recognize that God might give us, a house, a family, you might get an education, you go to uni, you might get married, have a family, all those blessings that we do enjoy that are material ones here on earth, there's going to come a point in time where they're not really going to last forever. Maybe the exception to that is if you've got a Christian family and some Christian friends, that's going to last forever, isn't it? But things like cars and wealth and all those sort of things we instantly think about when we think about blessings, they're not going to last forever. We worry so much about them, don't we? But really, in comparison to eternity, they're so small, aren't they? God, when he wants to bless us, he wants to give us a blessing that lasts. He wants to give us blessings that last throughout eternity. Forgiveness of sins, redemption, adoption into God's family. We're going to look at them later on. They are blessings that last forever. So material blessings, yes, it might be nice to have material blessings, and we can appreciate them as coming from God. But in the big scheme of things, they're nowhere near as important or as good as ones that last forever. So I think that first myth there, I think that's busted. I think Ephesians really busts that myth. Second myth that's out there is I can get spiritual blessings without Jesus. Maybe I just do need that prayer rug. Well, have a look in your Bibles again at verse 3. It says that God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That means that every single spiritual blessing that you can get only comes through Jesus. So can you get spiritual blessings without Jesus? No. Ephesians tells us that we can't. That myth's busted. About the third myth that you might have heard this, or maybe you've thought this. God is holding back some spiritual blessings. Maybe when I became a Christian, God gave me some blessings, but maybe he's holding some back. Have a look again at verse 3. God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. God has not held back any spiritual blessing. He's given us every single one of them, the whole lot in Jesus. So Ephesians busts that one too. What about the fourth myth, that God hasn't blessed us at all? What are these spiritual blessings that I'm talking about? Let's have a look. There's seven of them that I could find. You could probably find more in the passage, and there's definitely more if you look elsewhere in the Bible. But the first one is he's chosen us to be holy and blameless. Maybe you've been chosen for something at school. Maybe you were chosen last for sport for the team of soccer at school. We all know what it's like to be chosen. Maybe you've been chosen for something good. Maybe you've been chosen for something bad. Well, what does God choose us for? Let's have a look. Verse 4. God chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. God chooses us to be set apart for his special purposes. That's what holy means. God chooses us to be blameless. When we do meet him, when we do face God, God wants us to be blameless in his sight, and he chooses us for that. It's pretty amazing. Second blessing God gives us is adoption. This little girl here, she is adopted. And it's great to be when kids get adopted into a good family. Verse 5 tells us, in love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. See, if you're a Christian, you've been adopted into God's family. Now it's funny, we always think, or sometimes we think that we've got no family before we come to Jesus, and then we've all of a sudden got God as our father. But the reality is, as Jesus points out in the Gospels, if we're either living for God or we're living against God. And if we're living against God and rebelling against God, our father's actually the devil. That's the kind of father we have. That's who we have as a father. So God is like child protection services who busts through the door and takes the kids that are not being looked after and not being loved by their parents and gives them adoptive parents. And in fact, God adopts them into his family. He loves them. He looks after us. That's what God does. And that's what adoption means. It means being part of God's family. And that's a family that lasts forever. The third blessing, God's given grace. In verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace, which is freely given us in the one he loves. Grace just means God's undeserved favor. We don't deserve to be forgiven. We don't deserve to be part of God's family. But God's given it to us anyway. It's a gift. It's for free. You don't. When someone gives you a gift, you don't say, how much do I owe you for it? You just need to receive it. And that's all we've got to do. fourth blessing God gives us is redemption. This idea of redemption should make us think of Exodus, when Israel were in slavery and they wanted to be free. It's the same idea. We're all in slavery to sin, aren't we? Every day we put our hands into the chains, into the shackles of sin, and that leads to death. And God doesn't want that. He wants to break us out of that. So he has redeemed us. He's paid that price. Jesus has died for our sins so that we could be forgiven. And that's what it says in verse 7. We've got redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Which ties into the fifth blessing in the passage, our sins are forgiven. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. There's a guy, Dr. Larry Crabb, he says that our greatest human need is to be forgiven by God. How important is it to be forgiven by God? And that's exactly what God has done. He's answered our greatest human need, your greatest human need, my greatest human need. The sixth blessing we see here is that God has made known the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. So the message of the Bible is about salvation, God wanting to save people, to call them back to him. And we see that in the New Testament. We can learn that that's through Jesus, and that's how he's worked to save us. So that mystery has been revealed, and that's a blessing. The seventh way God has blessed us is he's given us the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, it says, you also are included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, which is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Have you received the Holy Spirit? Well, if you're a Christian, that is a gift, spiritual gift that God has given to you, a spiritual blessing, that God has given to you. If you've heard the message of the gospel and you've believed it, then you are marked in him with a seal, the Holy Spirit. A seal was something that people used to put on letters, close up the envelope, get their ring, put it in wax, put a wax seal on the back of the letter. That way people knew this letter's from Dan, this letter's from Rachel. We don't do that too much these days. Probably the closest thing we've got is a signature. You might sign your name on a form or a check or something to say, or an IOU or a loan to say that something belongs to you, or that's authentic. So God gives us the Holy Spirit when we become a Christian to say that we are his, we belong to him. It's like him putting his signature on our hearts to say, those people are my people. And it's a deposit, it guarantees our inheritance. It's like when you go and pay for something, you might not have the money, or you might pay for a house. When you buy a house, you have to settle it, you've got to pay a deposit, and that says, I'm going to pay the full amount at a later date. That's what the Holy Spirit is. God's saying, I've given you the Holy Spirit so that you can know me better, so that you can grow to be more like Jesus, and later on, you're going to come and be with me forever. It's a deposit. So the idea that God hasn't blessed us at all, that myth is busted. And as you can see, the blessing starts now. All those spiritual blessings we have now and we enjoy now. And we'll enjoy them through to eternity. The fourth myth is that God doesn't want to bless us, or that God is a stingy giver. Is God really a stingy giver? I'll have a look at how God's given these blessings. In verse 4, in love. In verse 5, in accordance with his pleasure and will. Freely, in verse 6. In accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us, in verse 7. In verse 8, with all wisdom, he knew what he was doing and understanding. In verse 9, according to his good pleasure. See, God is a giver, not a taker. He loves to give. He asks us to be cheerful givers because he is a cheerful giver. So the idea that God is stingy or doesn't want to bless us, I think Ephesians busts that myth as well. So we've looked at four myths, the idea that material blessings are the best kind, the idea that I can get spiritual blessings without Jesus, the idea that God is holding back some spiritual blessings, the myth that God doesn't want to bless us or is a stingy giver. And I think we've seen that they're all busted by Ephesians. But myth busters don't just bust myths, they also confirm truths too, don't they? We can also see that spiritual blessings are better than material blessings. That's the first truth. The second one is that spiritual blessings come from God to us in Jesus. The third one, that God has given us every spiritual blessing in Christ. The fourth one, that God wants to bless us and that God is a generous giver. So at the start of this talk, I asked you, are you blessed? And how are you blessed? And we thought of some of the ways that God has blessed us. But I hope you've seen that spiritual blessings are actually way more important. They actually last a lot longer. Are you blessed? If you're not blessed tonight, if you spiritually are saying, I don't have these blessings that come through Jesus, then you need Jesus because he is the key to all of them. If you are someone that's spiritually blessed, if you are a Christian, then we need to be reminded of it, don't we? That's why we read our Bibles, that's why we meet at growth groups, because we can get sucked up and worry about the material blessings of this world. We all need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and what he's done for us so that we don't forget what we've got in him. I'd like to finish by sharing with you a story. There's a guy who went out and bought a lotto ticket. This is a true story from the Sydney Morning Herald. The guy's in Melbourne, bought a lotto ticket, went home, watched the lotto draw. Saw the numbers start to come up. Oh yeah, well my numbers have come up. You beauty. Then he, lotto draw was over, put his ticket to a side, started doing other stuff, and he forgot about it. He forgot about the lotto ticket, even though he'd won. Would you do that? I hope not. Anyway, later on, he's watching TV again. And it's like weeks later. There's a show on about people who've won the lotto but didn't collect the money that they won. And he's watching it, and they talk about the draw that was his that he won. And he remembers, oh, I've got a lotto ticket. I should go get that. I should go claim it. Goes and gets the lotto ticket, rushes down, claims the money. There you go. He remembers it. I guess the reason why I tell you that is because that's what we can be like when it comes to God. That's to be what we can be like when it comes to spiritual blessings. We can just forget how many spiritual blessings we have in Christ. We can be like that guy who forgets it. So let's not forget it, hey. Let's keep reminding each other. Let's keep focusing on what God's done for us. And I guess, as I said, the message of Ephesians is about unity. And this first chapter tells us what God's done to achieve unity. How would you get unity in the world? How can you get unity anywhere between people who are young and old, like we have at our church, between different services, between different growth groups? It all happens in Jesus. And it all starts with him and the gifts that he gives us, the blessings that come from him. So I hope you've seen that as we've gone along. If you watch Mythbusters, you'll know that it usually ends with some massive explosion. And I hope that you're exploding with joy for what God's done for you, because that's how Paul reacts. There's this explosion of praise that comes in the next bit of Ephesians. We're going to look at it next week. This explosion of praise and thanksgiving to God for what he's done. But for now, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have some questions, and then we can have some explosive singing. So let's just pray. Dear Lord God, we do just thank you for the many ways that you have blessed us. Lord, we do acknowledge that you've given us homes to live in and food to eat and so many good things that we enjoy. But Lord, far more importantly than all that, you've given us the Lord Jesus, and we just thank you so much for everything that comes from him. Thank you for wanting us to be a part of your family, not because we're great, but because of your great love. Thank you for the way that that you've paid for our sins, past, present and future, in the Lord Jesus. Thank you that he died on the cross so that we could be forgiven, Lord. And we just thank you for all the blessings that you do give us in Jesus, Lord, and help us to keep being reminded of them and to not forget, Lord. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.